just read the passage together. Psalm 95. This morning we meditated on the greatness of God, just how great God is, and the fact that He is so great, and yet He considered you and I. It's one passage says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" And to think that this great God of ours came down to this earth in the form of our Lord Jesus Christ, went to Calvary's cross to die for us. And so we continue tonight, Psalm 95, and we'll read the first 8 verses. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. And haven't we experienced that? For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if he will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Just up to that point. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And then we'll just turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll read the first 2 verses. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. And we'll read verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. This morning when we were gathered together, our brother Mr. Whitefield made a comment about something that a brother said and that he'd never forgotten. And you know, sometimes the Lord works in those ways, and I think you will find that in many instances the Lord has spoken to someone, and it is something that they've never forgotten, and it is something that has been the means of them coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So what was the words that I heard that I have never forgotten? At about the age of 16, I was coming down the hospital staircase in Cape Town, Wynberg, and a brother came down. We had just been visiting some patients and having a bit of a sing-song with the patients, and this brother came down, and he's living somewhere in Gosford today, and he came down, and all he said to me, and he's a very simple brother, he doesn't really speak much, and he doesn't say much, he's not very dynamic, But he stopped me on the staircase and said to me, "George, are you saved?" That's all he said to me. And those words I've never forgotten. And in fact, those words kept ringing through my mind, having been in Sunday schools and having been in gospel meetings in open airs and from a young boy and still not having trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And those words kept ringing through my mind, and "Are you saved? Are you saved?" And I knew exactly how to be saved. I knew that I was a sinner, that the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for me, and the only way for me to get to heaven, where it is really where I want to be, is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior. And of course I thought about those words, and it was just before me starting my first job. And so as I went into this building, and I always like to be prepared, you see, and someone told me in the office, "Look, we want you to go and drop off some mail to a few office buildings around the place. Do you know where these places are?" Well, I quickly said, "Well, I'll find out anyway." And I was on a lunch break and I came back, but on my way in, I was going to ask the lift driver, "Do you know these places? Where do I find them?" And of course, he didn't even answer me straight away. The first thing he said to me was, "Are you saved?" And then here were those words again, "Are you saved?" And I said, "Yes." Because I wanted him to sort of give me the answer to my question. I was concerned about where I was going to soon after I got back to the office. Anyway, he gave me some direction, and I easily found the places and was all set on my way. But again, those words kept ringing in my mind, "Are you saved?" And of course, this brother, he was the handyman around the building, and he took the odd times off in between to relieve and take the lifts up and down. And he started conversation with me, but those were the main words. And then I said to myself, "Well, I told him I was saved, but am I really saved?" No, I wasn't saved. I wasn't saved, and I told him I was saved. And that really bothered me, and that really worried me. And anyway, it wasn't very long after that I attended a gospel meeting, for the sake of those perhaps who haven't heard my testimony before. And I attended a gospel meeting in Broad Road, Weinberg. Neil will exactly know the place, because that's where we sort of grew up in the assembly, where Mr. Dudley was. And I sat at the back of the hall that night because I wanted to be out first. And during that night there was a preacher, and he spoke on Daniel that night, Mr. Hugh Vine. I don't know if anybody will know Mr. Hugh Vine. At that stage he was a fairly elderly man, and he read from the book of Daniel and didn't even look in the book. Turned it over and he read the whole chapter, and just staring at everybody as he read it. And of course I sat at the back and I thought, geez, he's not even taking his eyes off me. And anyway, he preached the message of the gospel, and halfway through the meeting he made an invitation. And he said, "Now, if there's anybody in the meeting tonight and you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's a very urgent matter. It's a very serious matter." And he said words to that effect that, you know, come to the Savior, make no delay. And he said, "If you feel that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to you now, come up from wherever you are and come into the front here and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart." And you know something, there I was right in the very back seat, and I was going to slip out, but the Lord spoke to my heart there, and these words kept ringing through my mind, "Are you saved?" And I knew I wasn't. And that night the Lord really spoke to me, and I took that invitation, got up out of my seat and staggered up to the front. That was about 7:30, halfway through the gospel meeting. And I stood in the front there, took the brother at his word, and there in front I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior in front of the whole congregation. But I tell you something, that when I made my way back to my seat, I didn't know whether I had roller skates on or anything, but I couldn't feel myself walking. It was such a good feeling. And you know, that question that I was asked was once and for all settled in my heart, and I felt quite happy. And when I got back to work, I said to that Lyft driver, his name was Ben, I said to him, "Yes, I'm saved, of course I'm saved." And then I told him the story. But you know, it's a wonderful feeling to be saved. It's a wonderful feeling to know that your name is recorded in Heaven's Book of Life. Isn't it wonderful to know, if you're going on a trip somewhere and you're looking forward to going to this particular place, wherever it might be, and you're looking forward to it, you really want to go there. But isn't it a wonderful feeling once your fare has been paid and once you've got that ticket and it says that you are on that flight or you are on that journey to wherever you really want to go? It gives you a bit of relaxation, and you just look forward to that time when you are going to hop on the plane or hop on the bus or on the train or whatever it might be, and go and enjoy that time. Well, you know, dear friends, in life we are on a journey, and we are on a journey to heaven if we've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, or we are on our way to a lost eternity if we choose not to do so. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He sends out an offer to each and every one of us today, and He said, "Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart." You know, I've been thinking a little bit about pressures that are put on people from day to day, and I think you might have, I don't know if you've seen the latest television ad on the computer systems, but there is a man that comes on with this advertisement and he says, "I want your business today." And he makes that point quite clear. He says, "I want your business today." And every time I see that ad come on, I wait for those words, "today." And the way he sort of, you know, really gets his face screwed up and says, "today," I thought, well, I'd sort of be scared if I had to confront him in person, I think. But it sort of made me think about the decisions that people have to make today. People today enter into contracts. They buy houses, they buy furniture, they buy goods, they buy things every day, and they are put on a spot. And people say, now look, the salesman will say, "This offer is for today only. Okay, sign on this line, and this is the best price for you." And so there you stop. You sit. And they say, "Now come on, you've got to make up your mind today. Tomorrow will be too late. This offer is for today only." And many times people, because they desire to have material possessions, and of course to acquire certain things, they are put in that predicament of making that decision at that time. And unfortunately, they sign, or they pay, and then perhaps later, they read the fine print, and they are disappointed. Or perhaps they find that, well, the offer wasn't so good after all, because next week you find the thing comes down another $50 or maybe $200 or something like that, and you didn't get the best price after all. But that pressure to make that decision today, and that decision is not always in your best interest. You know, dear friends, that the Lord Jesus Christ, He makes an offer to you. He doesn't want to take anything from you. This is the best part of it. He doesn't want to take anything from you, but He wants to give you something. He's not going to put you under any pressure at all. Because you see, In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "Come now, saith the Lord, let us reason together." He wants to sit down with you. "Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And the Lord Jesus Christ there offers salvation free. Nothing to pay, nothing to give, because He has died all on the cross of Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ, we find in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, He came upon a situation where there were many people gathered around. And we find that in this company there were two men came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 13 of chapter 12, these two men came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the one said to Him, and one of the company said unto Him, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." Here we find our Lord Jesus Christ in a family problem situation. And here was a man who was concerned about the inheritance that was going to be left to him, and apparently there must have been a problem, and he came to the Lord Jesus Christ so that the Lord Jesus Christ might speak to his brother or speak to his relatives to try and sort this matter out so that he probably could get his fair share. This was his concern. And when I think of it, when I walked into that lift that day, I had a concern of knowing the area that I was about to walk in. I had that concern. But the Lord knew that there was a far greater concern, and that was my soul's salvation. I didn't get the first question answered straight away. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to this man when he asked him to intervene in a family matter, the Lord Jesus Christ brought to this man's mind and to his heart the things that were more important. And you know the story, how that he told this man of this rich man who had great possessions. And he said, "This will I do, I will pull down my barns and I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, today, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall all these things be which thou hast gathered up? These things which thou hast provided." And there we find the Lord Jesus Christ brought to this man's attention not the need of his inheritance so much, but the need of him knowing God, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Savior. Because if he had died that night, well, having all those possessions would mean nothing, and he would have gone to a lost eternity. But if he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Savior, then he would have a home in heaven. "This night thy soul shall be required of thee, then whose shall all these things be?" We remember Belshazzar in Daniel. Belshazzar the king, who saw the handwriting on the wall, "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." But sad to say that when we read the end of that chapter, it says, "In that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain." And that night his life was taken. Did he know the Lord Jesus Christ? Did he know God? Did he really trust in God? We don't know. But you know, tonight, dear friends, you have an opportunity to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and know your sins forgiven. I like that little man Zacchaeus. You see, when he came and he heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, he heard that the Lord Jesus Christ was in town, and he knew what the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking about, and then he made it his business to go up into that tree and to see who the Lord Jesus Christ was. And the Lord knew he was there. He knew he was there. He knew exactly what he was up to. The Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly what, well, he knew what was in my heart, even though I sat in the back seat. He knew that by the end of that evening I was going to make my way to the front. The Lord knows you in your seat tonight. He knows what your thoughts are. He knows what your desire is, whether you really want to get to heaven one day. He knows whether you want to trust him as your own and personal Savior, and if you're just saying, oh well, maybe not tonight, maybe next week. And that offer has gone from this platform many times. Now is the accepted time, God says. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Zacchaeus, the Lord Jesus Christ, stood under that tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, come down. And he used those words and he says, for today I must abide at your house. You'll notice that the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever dealing with men and women in their need, he never says tomorrow. He never says next week. He never says next year. It's now or today. He wants you to respond. When people came to him, remember the man, the nobleman's son, who was sick? They came to the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent the servants to the Lord Jesus Christ to say, come and heal my son. And the Lord Jesus Christ healed that man's son even before they got back home. He saw the urgency. He saw the need. And dear friends, tonight, he wants you to see the need. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I have a testimony here of a brother who trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, Mr. Ben Sutton of Manitoba. I won't read the whole thing, but I'll just tell you what it was. One Saturday evening, he was in a pub drinking beer. And as he stood there, he probably had quite a fair bit to drink, and he just happened to gaze up at the clock, and something flashed by, and he looked, it was gone, and then he looked again, and this kept flashing on the clock, and the words that flashed on the clock was Guinness time. Now Guinness, I believe, is a name of a strong drink. And as the advertisers would say, well, it's time to have a Guinness. It's Guinness time. And as he saw those words flash up, he started to think. And the word time started to play on his mind. And then eternity started to play on his mind. Eternity. And this man straight away rushed out of the pub, thinking about eternity and time. And he, as he says, tried to weave in and through the traffic without getting knocked down, making his way to his brother-in-law's place. When he got to his brother-in-law's place, he usually went around there to annoy them, but he hadn't been there for some time. And as he knocked on the door, they opened up the door, and his brother-in-law showed himself at the top of the staircase, and they thought, oh, here's trouble. But anyway, to his amazement, Mr. Ben Sutton said to him, can you tell me about the Lord Jesus Christ? And And of course it was a wonderful way, I'm just shorting the story, how that this brother-in-law told Mr. Ben Sutton that it wasn't so very long ago that they had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. And they sat down that night talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And although they sat there until very early hours of the morning, he just couldn't seem to make that decision. And he was then invited to come to the gospel meeting. And when he came to the gospel meeting that night, he just had a quick look around to see whether anybody was looking to see him go in. It was only 60 yards from the pub where he used to go before. And he sat down in the meeting that night, and the speaker spoke about peace be still, and how the Lord Jesus Christ took control of that situation on the ocean. And he himself, being a seaman, thought that the speaker was speaking just to him. But praise God, that night he realized his need of our Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Savior. He realized that time was getting away. He realized that now was the day of salvation for him. And he made that decision to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Savior. We are teaching the boys and girls at Lucas Heights a new chorus. And it's another chorus that has been... There's no copyright on this, brother. The chorus has been written by our brother Harry from Abbotsford again. And it says, "Listen, listen to the clock. Tick-tock, tick-tock. Hour by hour, and day by day, what has the clock to say? It is time to seek the Lord. It is time to read his word. Come to Jesus while you may, as the moments tick tock, tick tock away." Dear friends, tonight the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to you, come, make no delay. As he said to Zacchaeus, "For today I must abide in your house." And you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is using those words today. I heard those words many, many years ago, and I praise the Lord that I responded. And from that day on, my name was written in Heaven's Book of Life. And I've had that assurance in my heart that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, when time runs out for me, I'm going to be in heaven one day. I wonder, dear friends, if you have that assurance tonight in your heart. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is longing to do so many things for you. But he wants you, first of all, to trust him as your own and personal Savior. We had our Sunday school lesson this morning, and the lesson was on prayer. And the good things that God wants to give to those who believe and trust in him. And of course, one of the girls said, anybody can pray. Anybody can pray. And this is right. But we had to point out the fact that the first prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to hear from those who have not trusted him as their own and personal Savior is that prayer of asking him to come into their heart and lives. Then you see, God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then, of course, we had to develop other areas of that. But a gentleman said to me at work during the week, he's got a very bad feet problem, and some days he can hardly work or walk. And he said to me, "George, I'm sort of, you know, religious in a way." He says, "I pray to God every day, just to give me one day's relief from these aching feet that I've got." And he's got these boils coming out all over his feet and on his arms and on his fingers. And I spoke to him. And if he only knew that there was a greater need than that, and God will answer his prayer, if he puts his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost. Dear friends, tonight I will leave you with that message today. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. I'll read that verse. Let's leave that verse because I think I might have read it the other way around. It's very easy to do that. Isaiah chapter 1. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And that is my simple message to you tonight, dear friends. The Lord Jesus Christ paid the price on Calvary's cross for your sin and mine. And he wants you today. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And he wants you today to trust him as your own and personal Savior. And then maybe you can, even as you sit in your seat tonight now, you can ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life, and you can tell us afterwards. It doesn't have to be anything spectacular. It's between you and God. You ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart, and he will save you now. And then you'll be able to sing with us this last verse, number 528. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.